The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Man, so I'm sitting there watching that intro. I've got my mind around where I think that this sermon series is supposed to go, and I'm watching that intro, and it's like, oh my gosh, there is multiple avenues that we could take in this Solid Ground series. And so today, I want you to know that we're not going to go real deep. In other words, I should say it differently. We're not going to get real specific about some things today. The name of my message today is called God's Purpose for the Family. And it may surprise you where we end up today. And I hope, gosh, I just got to tell you, Victor's worship was so encouraging to me this morning, and I just hope that we just keep right on going with the words that the Lord gives me for today that He wants me to highlight to you about. Man, I just hope you find it so encouraging. So we're going to talk about God's purpose, and it is one of the best things to know when you walk out the door. What's my role? Besides my role, what's my purpose? What am I doing here? Remember Charlie Brown yelling, "Can somebody tell me what Christmas is all about?" What if some of us are yelling, "God, can you please tell me what my life is all about?" Well, we're going to find out a little bit about that this morning. And I hope that it just kind of sets you up to move forward with God maybe in a way that you haven't before. In other words, to grab onto a little piece of what you hear today and say, hey, you know what? I can do that. I can step into that. That's what I hope you find this morning, okay? And so the cool part is I'm going to pull our passages on the family, believe it or not, from Genesis. And what I love about Genesis is that it's not a lot of symbolism. It's not a parable. You don't have to read into it. It is what it is. It says exactly what God did. It tells you exactly what went down. And a lot of scholars will tell you, as you work through the Bible, if you want to know how it ends, you got to understand how it begins. And that's where I want to start today. I wanted you to understand that there is a beginning to life as a family. There was a design that God put into play, even as far back as the creation. And there's some things about that design we're just not going to get around. But there's also some things about it that are super encouraging and super helpful to understand. And so we're going to start in Genesis. I want you guys to get your Bibles out. And I want you to turn to Genesis 1. And we're going to read 26 through 28. I know it says 31, but I shortened it up a slide. Father, I ask your blessing upon the rest of this service today. I pray, Father, that you would help us today. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would continue to stay with us and to encourage us in the Word, Father, this morning. May you bless the words that are spoken, and may you prepare the hearts and the ears that are going to hear. And may your will just prevail over everything that comes out of this today. Amen. Genesis 1, 26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and of the sea and over the birds in the heavens and over the livestock and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air and the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on earth. Now listen, I have some place I need to go with you guys today. I have some takeaways I want you guys to leave with. There's going to be some thoughts and ideas that's going to be in your pocket that you're going to be able to use all week long. I'm going to give you the punchline first so you can wrap everything you hear from me today up in what I'm going to give you, okay? Listen, God's purpose for mankind is to be image bearers of him. That's your purpose. That we can all do if we understand. The worst thing that can happen is for any of us to live under a misconception about who God is and what he expects from you. And a lot of people do live that way all their lives. Today is going to help you. It's going to clear some of that up. What's my purpose? Okay, listen. Whoops, I already got it right there. I didn't mean to do that. I'll just read it. There it is. From the very onset, you guys, from the very onset of God's creation, we were created to be image bearers of God and to reflect his attributes, listen, and his ways of working in unity and structure. See, this sermon series is about the marriage. And what you're going to find out is God has way more structure than you maybe ever thought he did. There's nothing haphazard about God. He's not random. He has set certain things in play that is the foundation not only for the world and the foundation for salvation, but for the way we live and the way we interact with each other. And that's exactly what he's laying out here. So let's go to the next slide. God's purpose for mankind is to be image bearers. So look at this. Here we go. Genesis 1, 26, it says, and then God said, let us make man in our own image. So my question is, who is the us? Who's the us? Now, what's that? The Holy Trinity. Very good. Listen, this idea that God is singular, he's up there, he's God, right? He has no entourage, he has no peeps, he's up there, he's God. But this passage says, let us. And so a lot of scholars say, well, maybe he's talking about the angels that are in the heavens with him. No, if you understand God and you understand the Holy Trinity, that's who he's talking about. He said, let us. In fact, let's read this verse. And this is in 1 John. He says, this is he that came by water and blood. He's talking about Jesus Christ there. Even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. That means through baptism and a natural birth. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because of the Spirit is true. For there are, listen, three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word. Who's the Word, you guys? John 1. Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh. The Word is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And the three of these agree in one. So listen, who is us? Let's look at some other passages. This idea of the Trinity is, oh my, this is gonna, let me back up. Come on, there we go. The idea of the Trinity is all through the Bible. And a lot of times, you guys, when you hear somebody say the Godhead, they're talking about the Trinity, okay? And so the Godhead is also mentioned. Sometimes it varies between translations. But when Jesus, or God is talking about us, he's talking about, he operates in community as well. He has a family. 2 Corinthians says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He's talking about all three persons. Matthew says, go therefore and make disciples. You guys have all heard this. To all nations, baptizing them in what? The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, if they're all the same, why not just call out one? Well, because they're three in one. And the point is, God's not up there by himself. He's not a lone ranger, okay? So who is us? Listen, the Godhead or the triune God is made up of three distinct beings, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are three separate persons who are united, listen to me, in purpose and work together to achieve God's plans. Think of the family, you guys. Think about what God is passing along to us in Genesis as a foundation. I'm going to read that again. They are three separate persons who are united in purpose and work together to achieve God's plans. Can you see how that sent the family in motion? God's not working by himself. He's working in community with the Son and the Holy Spirit, and they have plans. There is structure. God's laying it out right now. It says the Godhead is united in essence, will, and purpose, and each member operates in the fullness of God's power. The members of the Godhead are fully representative of each other and are in perfect relational unity. Is that not setting the table for the family? Let me see some heads. You guys understand where this is going? Listen, it's not just for the family. What about your church family? Can I get an amen? This isn't random. All right, so let's keep going. So I love this diagram. Father on top, Son to the side, Holy Spirit. The Son glorifies the Father, but is not the Father, but is in the Father, but still God. Can you guys see that? The Holy Spirit glorifies the Father, and the Father the Holy Spirit. He is not the Father, but he is in the Father, and they are all three God. Can you guys see that? So where am I going with this? What's the point, Vince? What are you trying to get at? You guys have heard me preach many times. We are not the Lone Rangers. We were never meant to do life on our own. There's nothing that you're going to get. In other words, God is showing you the basic foundation of he is a community. He operates in a family. He operates within the, community is a good word. He's not by himself. In other words, this idea of community and family started with him. And there's a goal to it. There's a purpose why he operates it with us. God's design for men were never that we were going to go on our own. It's not just you and God. If you ever hear a pastor tell you that, they're not telling you biblically what God is setting up for mankind. There are things that are just between you and God. But we are not put here on the earth to operate in isolation. And there's a lot of people that do work like that. There was a great book that was written by the guy, There was a book that was written by Rick Warren. It was a famous book, and it was called The Purpose-Driven Life. And in that book, he explains that even though you can read the word You can be in the Word 20 hours a day. You can be praying 20 hours a day. You can do all you can to be spiritually grounded, and you still cannot learn through that what you learn about being in community with your family and your church family and the people at work. Are you guys hearing me? Is it understood? In other words, the rubbing of the elbows, the conflicts, what you learn, the sharpening, the tuning that goes on in your life, you don't get that by being in isolation with God's Word. You get understanding, but how that gets sharpened and used and moved forward is in your interaction with each other. Right? That's where God hones us. That's where we have to really put these things like, do you love people, to the test. That's where you have to put, you know what, I'm a new creation in Christ. Maybe you better act like it. That's where you put that to the test. And God's pointing this out to us. God's showing us that in unity, it is best to work in community and in unity with others. We're image bearers. He created us in His image. I'm getting a little bit of it. In fact, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But He created us in His image. And our goal is to reflect that. Are the admonition that we have. So, the family is supposed to reflect what Jesus has just shown us here in Genesis, or what God, they're all God, has just shown us here in Genesis, that we work in community with each other. We're not isolation. We don't live in isolation. We're never meant to go it alone, okay? So let's get to the next one. God's purpose for mankind was to be image bearers of Him. That's the punchline. Look what it says, Genesis 1, 26, the second part. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Now listen, what's our purpose? We're image bearers, okay? Let's look at a couple other verses. Ephesians, I love this. It says, know who you are. As a Christian, you need to know who you are. Ephesians 4, 22. To put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desire. That's the way you guys were. Verse 23. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And look at 24. And to put on the new self created after what? The likeness of God. The encouragement before we even get there is to be like God, is to reflect God because of what He's done. And it says, in true righteousness and holiness, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth, which his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. Are you guys seeing how this is backing up what we just saw in Genesis? This is all about community. This is about reflecting God so we can do what? So we can make a mark on our community. So we can have community. So we can live in unity. So that we understand that we don't just live for ourselves and in isolation. And we were never meant to do that. And the verses in Genesis show us that that is exactly where God is leading us to, okay? But look, not only do you need to know who you are, you need to know your purpose. And look at Ephesians 5 and 8. I'm sorry, Ephesians 1 and 5 and 8. Therefore, what? Be imitators of God. We are an image bearer. We're reflecting what God put in us, or what God has told us to do. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Verse 8, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Listen, walk as what? Children of the light. Be an image bearer. And listen, I don't want to make this difficult. In other words, some of you may say, "Well, Vince, man, I don't feel like that's attainable for me. I'm so far below what God does, and that's really not what it's telling you to do when you're being an image bearer." What we have to understand is that we can all do this. In other words, you don't have to be a pastor. There's no minimum requirement to be able to fulfill this. You can fulfill it the best way you can with the sphere of influence that the Lord has given you and with the abilities that you have to work with. Some of you may do some of this really, really well. Some of you may not do community very, very well. But to be imitators, you know what? We can only work with what God has enlightened us with, right? And I hope we're all addressing that. I hope that whatever God is leaning on you about right now, that you're operating with him in that, and we're doing something about it. But sometimes the Christian life is, you know, like an onion, and you're peeling layers back. And so the more that you give to the Lord, sometimes the more he's going to pull those layers back, and it's hard to do something that you don't know about. But he reveals stuff to you later. And this is saying, walk in the light that you know. That's really what this is saying. What you know, pass it along. Be ambitious to walk in that. Be brave. Be bold to walk in that as the best you can. Don't feel like isolation and it's just me and the Lord is what God has us doing. It's not. I'll finish that up. It says, For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Be, what does it say? Light bearers. You guys, what's our purpose? We're going to be image bearers for God. That's what Genesis is showing us, okay? Lots of times you guys might be saying, man, that's a tall task for me, Vince. It's not. It's not. You can all move forward on where you're at exactly right now with God in being an image bearer. There's all places that we can do better and we can live up to it. The purposes of God point to a simple end, that we should be as he is, think the same thoughts, care about the things he does, receive his favor. We have a hard time with that. You guys, you know what that means? So listen, I say, hey, you guys, there's places that you can work on and do better at where you're at with God. You know, respond to that. Be light bearers. You can do it. Understand that God never expected perfection from any of us. Are you hearing me? Accept his favor. Accept his blessedness. Accept his good heart towards you. Understand that his heart towards you is good. Understand that your best interest is exactly how God operates with you all the time. What he expects from us is a response. Somehow, some way, let's get a response. In the smallest of way, he'll honor that. And you know what? If we don't get it perfect, accept his favor. Accept salvation. Accept what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. It's there. It was a gift that was prepared for you before you were even a forethought in this world. And then listen, it says, be image bearers of him and think of ourselves the way he does. And that's the biggest problem. We don't think of ourselves the way he does. Sometimes our self-talk is pretty harsh towards ourselves. And sometimes our image of God is pretty harsh sometimes. But there's no, you better get it right. There's no, you better toe the line. When we do mess up, it's more of, oh man, I hate that for you, but you're forgiven. There's a better way. And then if we don't listen or heed, sometimes discipline comes into our lives, but he's never saying, oh man, you really blew it. I've had it with you. I'm done. Or you got one more chance. None of that talk, none of that ever comes out of his mouth. And then on the hard time that we have is that we don't accept his forgiveness right away. We think that, of course, we have some effort to put into it. But we need to accept his favor and understand that you can do it. And if you don't do it perfectly, he's not beating you over the head with it. Are you hearing me? It's good stuff, man. This is liberating. You know exactly what to work on. You know exactly how you can please God. We looked at a couple of verses. It says that it pleases God. All of us can walk out of here and do that. All of us can actually feel good about, hey, you know what? I know what I'm supposed to be doing today. I'm an image bearer. That's a big responsibility, actually, to be honest with you. Because all of us have failed at times at being good image bearers. All right? Let's go to the next. Let's go on. And in Genesis 27, it says, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them, and he blessed them. I got to tell you that as a pastor, there are certain messages I just never dreamed I would have to preach, or I would have to make comments on certain things in our society. That verse right there flies in the face of a good portion of our society, I hate to say. I'm sorry, folks, but God created male and female only. What you were born with, that is what you are. We don't have our society says you can change it. In other words, I can choose what I want to be. In other words, how do you identify today? Some people identify as a rabbit. Some people identify as a dog. I mean, people get really, and I'm serious, people get super offended. This woke agenda and this DEI agenda, I'm telling you, I don't know of a better way to say it because I want to use a word that kind of shakes you up. But that's an abomination to God's design. This is rejecting God's design in every way. I mean, what pastor 20 years ago would have thought they would ever even have to explain this or say this? Listen, there's no babies coming from men. God didn't design the family. Part of the family in his design is to have creation, procreation. It says, we're going to see here in just a second, it says, be fruitful and multiply. You can't do that if you're messing around with male and female. So biblically speaking, like I said, I'm not going to get in too deep in the weeds on this because we're going to have other messages that will address this. But this says exactly how God created not only the framework for community and what we do out of that, but also some of the roles now we see that are coming out of that. He created man and woman only. Okay? Let's go on. Gender is a word determined by God from the very beginning. And I just talked about that. Sorry, that was my second slide. God's purpose for mankind is to be image bearers of him. Now let's go on to the next slide, or the next verse. And God said to them, be what? Fruitful and multiply. You can't do that if you have your genders all messed up, okay? But listen, look what this says. Number four, roles and the family structure were also set by God at the very beginning. And again, I'm not going to get too far deep in the weeds, but let's look what it says in Genesis 2. And let's start at 19, or 18, sorry, I didn't change that. Then the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. He's saying right there, we need community. We need more than being on our own all the time. And says, I will make him a helper fit for him. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast in the field. But for Adam, there was not found to be a helper compatible to him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Dang. Sorry, guys. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his what? His wife. So we've not only seen the concept of community developed through the Godhead, we've seen that he's created man and woman, and now we're seeing that he's also created what? Marriage. And the family unit that's coming out of that. And then what does he say to them? Okay? And they shall become one flesh. They shall be one. They shall be a family. They shall be in covenant with each other, just like we are to God. Listen, this was AI generated. I actually thought it was pretty good. I usually don't pay much attention to that, but I read it really close and it wasn't bad and I liked it, so I pulled it out. God created marriage and family to provide companionship, facilitate procreation, and we listen and reflect his image on earth by creating a what? A union or a structure. I'm the one that put structure. Between a man and a woman where they could love, support, and complete each other, ultimately raising children in a stable, nurturing environment, essentially to build a strong foundation for society based on godly standards and attributes. Amen. Why do you think God created the family? Yes, we're supposed to be image bearers, but we take that out into the next family and to the next family. There's a thing in Christianity called the pastoral echo, where we learn from each other, and that same echo happens in family. The design was for us to fulfill the world and reach the world for Christ through families, through this passing along, okay? But listen, it's probably the biggest reason why we have to stay in touch and in tune with politics and with what goes on regarding the family, because if Satan wanted to tear down all that God wanted to build, what would he attack? And what is he attacking? Huh? The family. It's the best way to stop God's design. It's the best way to stop what God was trying to put together, and we already see it succeeding. Whatever you guys see in the schools, that's going to be what a predominant mindset is in all the culture probably in the next 8 or 10 years. Some of it is already here. Like I said, the woke agenda, the DEI, that's in the schools. That's here. It's set. What we have to do as parents and be sure we have to speak up. In other words, you guys, when we're light bearers, sometimes we have to carry a message that isn't always fun. Sometimes we have to speak up at school board meetings. We have to carry the light. We have to bear the image of God. Lacey tells me what's in the library at McCabe School. So it's amazing. It's all over YouTube, folks upset about the stuff that's in the books that the kids have. You want to mess up society? You mess up the family. And you start having the parents having less influence than the kids, and you got big problems, and we are almost there. And we have to say something. We have to understand. We have to know what's going on with our kids. This is a big deal. And what I love about this that was put together was it was essential, is essential to building a strong foundation for a societal basis. And you guys, if you get it right in the family, you're going to build a strong foundation, not just for your family, but you're going to build a strong foundation for your community around you, for your church family. It's huge. It's huge for us. And then I'm going to go to this last point. In fact, Victor, you can probably come on up and look what it says. And this is maybe another area that we can delve into. It's not really a part of like...
Shallon Palmer TV, Christmas 2013.
I'm not sure what that is. So listen, this does not have like roles for and just define who you are and maybe the purpose that we've just talked about. But we're going to see as we go through this series that I think that this next point is might be bigger than you think. Look what it says. It says, and he's talking about, you know, what the man and the woman should do, that they should be fruitful and multiply. And then he says, throughout the earth. And then look what it says. And he says, subdue it. That means take authority. In other words, bring it under your authority. God has given you probably more authority than you think. And he's given mankind authority over his creation. Okay, so look. In 1 Peter it says, listen to this. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Listen, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Listen. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, as is what? A good steward of God's varied what? Grace. He's given you guys, all of us, stewardship over this land. As dads and fathers and family leaders, he's given us stewardship over our families. In fact, I'll just go on to this next point. The call on us is to steward what God has given us dominion over very well. Well, we can steward our families. We can be image bearers. As dads, we need to set the tone for our families in that. As moms, we set the tone with our kids for that. As moms, we set the tone for our grandkids. I mean, look at the cycle just goes on. But we have to steward our finances. We can do that well. We don't waste. And we take our family and we keep them in our priorities as far as our money goes. Listen to this. We steward our resources. We all have jobs. We can't be lackadaisical with our jobs. We have to steward them. They've been given to us. They're a blessing. We have to make ourselves better. And maybe we don't like the job we have, but you know what? We do what? We be image bearers in the meantime and pray for something different. And we be good stewards with what we have, with what we've been given. But we can be stewards of opportunities. Some of you guys are hunters. We have to be good stewards over the world, over livestock and wildlife. We have all kinds of things we can steward. We have to be good stewards of our time. I looked it up this morning. How many hours do you think people spend on the internet on their phone every day. What's the average? I see a lot of smiles. 2.5 hours. You know, guys, take half of that and pray for your church. Take a quarter of it and pray for your church and your community. In other words, God's been giving you dominion with your time. You need to steward, we need to steward it well. Take half of that and say, man, this hour I'm going to be a light bearer. I'm going to be an image bearer for God. I'm going to purposely do this. And you guys, we have blessings that we need to steward as well. There's all kinds of ways that we can steward. In other words, God's given that opportunity to us. And man, so many times we squander it. So tonight, I'm just excited. I'm excited to introduce this new chapter that we're going to go through, this new series. But you have to understand the foundation, where it came from. This idea of community and family started at the very beginning by God Himself. He's given us His image. And what we have to understand is we have to receive that, and we have to believe that we can operate in that, that we can be an image bearer. I'm not just a poor old sinner. I'm not just, you know, you have to view yourself as a child of God. You have to view yourself as He's given you His image to be able to take this out and live in community with others. So I'm excited about this series. I hope this laid a foundation for you guys on where this idea of marriage came from, where this idea of community came from. It was all in God. The roles are outlined. Some of the things that we are to do, that'll be honest to do, are outlined. We're going to probably get into that. But man, today we got one admonition walking out of here, and that's to understand who we are in Christ Jesus and what He wants for us to do. That's our purpose. And it's the same purpose for the family, and it was meant to carry out through that. So, Father, thank You for the word today. Thank You for all You've done for us. We ask, Father, that You would bless all of our families, that You would help us, Lord, that I know it's not perfect. That opening that Jeremiah has is just perfect. There's plenty of times that it feels like it's pouring on us. There's plenty of times that it feels like maybe our prayers aren't getting to You. And there's plenty of times, Father, that we struggle with some of the things that we have a hard time putting away. But man, You are steadfast and You are everything to us. And You never, the words of that song that Victor sang, says the song will end, but You never will. Boy, let us walk in that favor from You today, Father. In these things we pray.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You filled our hearts.